Jesse and Beaver Scene and 98.1 FM W251 BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Labor Department says employers added 216,000 positions in December, besting a gain of 199,000 the month before. Bob Dahl at Crossmark Global Investments.
Better than expected in terms of the number of people finding jobs. I think also important is the fact that average hourly earnings stayed strong.
Investigators in Perry, Iowa, searching for a motive after a 17-year-old shot and killed a sixth grader at the local high school, five people injured. Jody Kurth's stepson was grazed by a bullet.
It was absolutely horrifying. One of the worst moments of my entire life, but the best phone call I got was saying that they were okay.
The first major winter storm of the season set to pound people on the East Coast this weekend. Alerts up from North Carolina to Maine. Odyssey meteorologist Craig Allen.
It looks like the heaviest snow will fall across the inland areas, and there is the possibility of a 6 to 12 inch snowfall in some spots.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
WRJN.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two consultants hired to analyze new legislative maps for Wisconsin will be paid as much as $100,000 each in taxpayer money. Terms of their contracts were just made public. The state Supreme Court has ruled the old maps unconstitutional. Truckers and other commercial drivers are on the front lines against human trafficking in Wisconsin. State troopers are training them on the red flags potential victims may raise.
For every victim that's recovered in a trafficking investigation, there are, you know, just an infinite number that aren't, that go unnoticed. And that's kind of the sad reality of it.
That's Trooper Sean Bryan of the Wisconsin State Patrol. January is Human Trafficking Awareness Month in Wisconsin. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WRJN News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The next step for the Kenosha Casino project is with the county board. The Kenosha City Council approved an intergovernmental agreement outlining the terms of the deal with the Menominee Tribe. Payouts to local governments will be linked to performance with minimums established to provide assurances. The county board will have their say in a meeting January 16th. The Milwaukee police officer who died in an Oak Creek crash last month was found to have been driving under the influence. Officer James Nowak's blood alcohol content was revealed to be 0.24, three times the legal limit. Nowak died days after crashing into the back of a semi-truck in Oak Creek. The Milwaukee County Medical Examiner's Office has not yet determined the manner of death. His family shared that a GoFundMe campaign in his name raised $75,000. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WRJN News.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Bucks beat the Spurs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was a back-and-forth game, but the Bucks held on to win 125-121 over the Spurs in San Antonio. Giannis against 7'4" Victor Wembanyama. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
That was a fun game. That was a fun game to coach, fun game to watch. You know, two of the most unique, talented, you know, they're very versatile players, but we just got to continue and get ready for Houston.
The Bucks play the Rockets tomorrow night. NFL, Chicago Bears quarterback Justin Fields on what a win in Green Bay Sunday would mean to him.
It'd mean a lot to the fans of the city. I think it'd be great. We know that Green Bay's playing for a lot at stake. They're playing for a playoff spot right now. So I think, you know, it'd be a great feeling to end the season off with a win in Lambeau.
If the Packers win, they're in the playoffs. Elton Jenkins.
We just got to keep doing what we've been doing. Don't change anything. Just harp on the details and just play with a lot of effort.
That's Packers left guard Elton Jenkins. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
WR. WURJN.
We are watching a couple of systems that are going to bring some snow to our region. The first one will be late Friday night, Saturday into Saturday night. We may get an inch or less of accumulation there. Another more significant system will bring rain and snow late Monday, Tuesday into Wednesday. We'll keep an eye on that one. Today will be cloudy, 36 tonight. Snow after midnight, low of 31. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
When you think about it, talk radio is its own type of sport. News Talk and Sports, 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Friday's with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, I don't know. Earlier in the week, one of the main Hezbollah organizers was assassinated. In Lebanon.
Actually, that was Hamas organized.
Hamas organized.
Yeah, and he was assassinated in Beirut. And so that was part of, you know, I guess the Israeli announced at the beginning of this that they would seek out Hamas wherever,
anywhere
and everywhere. And of course, it is true, however, that doing such acts in a country can be viewed from an international law standpoint as an act of war. Depending on how it was carried out. So, you know, there's no question that Netanyahu has an interest potentially in taking on Hezbollah and neutralizing Hezbollah at the same time as they're dealing with Hamas. That's a much bigger venture. Hezbollah is backed by Iran. There are ongoing problems and have been ongoing problems up at the Golan Heights, up at the border there with Lebanon, with rockets and with occasional incursions. And there is no question that there needs to be a long-term solution undoubtedly there as well. But that would be a lot for Netanyahu to bite off, number one. Number two, the United States, he could only do that, I think, with the support and backing of the United States. My understanding is that the Biden administration has been admonishing Netanyahu not to open a front at Lebanon and with Hezbollah at this time. But we'll see. You know, Netanyahu seems to be a bit of an independent actor. And he's, quite frankly, walking Biden down a very difficult path here in the United States politically, because there's no question that there is growing questions in the United States about how it is that the United States aid is being used by Israel in the conduct by Israel of their war with Hamas. And there certainly are questions on the international level about that, but it appears that there's a growing potential for this to be a problem for Biden in the next presidential campaign.
So yesterday, Senator Elizabeth Warren, Democrat Massachusetts, became one of the highest profile Democrats to demand no further aid to Israel without conditions, citing a right-wing government that's demonstrated an appalling disregard for Palestinian lives. her call came one day after Senator Bernie Sanders, independent Vermont, called for an end to further U.S. aid to Israel. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's government, arguing in a statement that Israel's response to the October terrorist attack by Hamas has been grossly disproportionate, immoral, and in violation of international law, and that the U.S. must no longer be complicit in destroying the lives of innocent men, women, and children in Gaza. Those are very poignant and bold statements from two well-respected senators of the United States.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's not exactly like the Republicans balking at aid to Ukraine, but it's a demonstration that bipartisan support for foreign expenditures, particularly foreign expenditures in the process of carrying out warfare,
with some contingencies.
Well,
right?
Yeah, are need to be carefully premeditated, and there needs to be consensus. And
regardless of whom it is.
Yes, and Henry Kissinger did a bunch of things that I wouldn't be proud of, but he had this concept of real politic that was simply a matter of pragmatism. The United States should not get involved in foreign matters unless it really matters to the United States and there is a unification in the United States of view with respect to it. And, you know, that requires leadership. It requires transparency. It also requires force so that, you know, one of the problems with our dealings with Israel is that their lobby in the United States is so powerful that I think it's difficult for leaders in the United States to be very direct with Israel about the kind of constraints. I mean, Donald Trump clearly was a bit of a lap child for Netanyahu and did everything that was being asked of the United States, transferring our embassy, doing all kinds of symbolic things. I think that with respect to this matter in Hamas, it's going to require, it puts a president between a rock and a hard spot because he's going to have to take on Israel directly in order to secure the outcome that's necessary. I think they're doing a good job of doing it behind the scenes, but by doing it behind the scenes, it's leaving him vulnerable to attack. During an election time, yeah. And so, you know, this is a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation for Joe Biden. And I think what he's just got to do is find the right course and follow it.
So Benjamin Netanyahu is, and I read this the other day, I forgot where it was, he's marshaling Israeli forces on the border, tanks and all.
Well, I mean, putting force on the border of Lebanon. Yes, I think it's clear. I mean, I think there's satellite.
It's phase three.
Well, there's satellite proof of it. But putting a defense there doesn't necessarily mean you're going to cross the line and take an offensive. It could be that you're putting it there to discourage the Hezbollah from any further conduct aimed at the south from Lebanon. And so, you know, it's not at this point should we jump to the conclusion that he's massed there for the purpose of crossing the border on an offensive. But, you know, dare he not do that?
So, Sandy, and I guess before we go to the phone lines, the point I'm asking of you, sir, is the escalation. This could very easily now spiral out of control. Is it safe to say that?
Well, and ever since it started, it has the potential to spiral out of control. Arming yourself in a defensive posture at the Golan Heights.
No, I don't mean the arming.
Is not necessarily going to put it out of control.
No, I mean the rocket that apparently struck in Lebanon, and because they're now talking retaliation.
Well, Hezbollah. Yeah,
Hezbollah.
And maybe that's exactly why they've put the military up at the border, so that Hezbollah will be more reticent about and reluctant to initiate an offensive or a counteroffensive. The war is complex, and the problem with any war is it has the potential to spin out of control. And part of that will have to be based upon restraint that's either exercised by the United States or imposed by the United States into a circumstance in which the United States has a great deal of sway. And I think it's not at all clear that we don't have sway with Iran. While on the surface, we have a very hostile relationship with Iran. we actually, I think, have ongoing negotiations with Iran, and Iran is interested in having sanctions against it reduced, which is something that is held, a power that's held by the United States.
So the Biden administration officials are drawing up plans for the U.S. to respond to what they're increasingly concerned could expand from a war in Gaza to a wider protracted regional conflict. Good morning to you, David. How you doing? You say what?
Good morning. So if you've been following all this, you've noticed that the U.S. military has been, they had us, they actually sunk three boats in the Red Sea. And it was due to the fact that I think it was the Houthis that were firing upon the U.S. Navy. And the U.S. Navy took care of it. They destroyed them, except for one boat, one got away. And you've now seen the fact that I think ISIS was just involved.
Yeah, but that's that's a needle in the haystack. You know, in the Red Sea.
Well, Dave wasn't finished, but I do think that the what's interesting to me and should be a lesson to America about the complexity of the Mideast is the fact that the memorial service, the annual service for Soleimani, the general that was assassinated by us, had this huge disruption, and it was apparently carried out by ISIS, which demonstrates the lack of cohesion in the Mideast, where there are different factions. There are Shias, there are Sunnis, there are Arabs.
But we've been aware of that, right, as a government?
Well, I'm not sure that our policies have always demonstrated our acute awareness of that, but, you know, there is definitely there's a strong difference between Iran and Saudi Arabia, for instance, and the two of them are maybe getting closer by getting pushed together in a way. But there are lots of nuances in the Mideast that need to be considered. And the Houthis, for instance, are a part of that complexity.
David?
So I was going to say really quickly. So you have multiple factions, the Houthis, Hezbollah, Hamas, the Palestinian Authority. They're all pretty much basically this kind of one and the same ideologically. If you don't agree with them, they're gonna try to just kill you, basically. That's their goal, is to make things unstable. And that is the overall goal, is to eliminate anybody that's against them. And it's
so David, let me ask you, David, is this certainly, in their beliefs, of this is all tied into Israel and what goes on there, right? And the Palestinians.
Well, I mean, I think, first of all, that he lumped together some, I'm not sure. I'm confident that Hezbollah and Hamas have a view that stability is something they're against, particularly as it relates to Israel. The Palestinian Authority, particularly in the West Bank, it's not clear exactly where and how they operate and what their theories are. But, you know, it is a very complex situation. And it's particularly hard when
Dave,
the groups that you're fighting are headless.
Dave and Sandy, hang on. 844-967-2789 is the number. You can join us.
This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, lost of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
News, talk, and sports for Racine and Kenosha. WRJN.
That's Grand Funk Railroad. Is that who that is?
Nope, that is Creedence Clearwater.
Yeah. All right. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. So four officials familiar with the matter, including senior administration officials, describe internal conversations about scenarios that could potentially draw the U.S. into another Middle East war. All were granted immunity to speak about sensitive ongoings in national security discussions. Dave from Mequon, you were saying.
What we have going on here, obviously, is multifaceted. You've got a lot of bad actors that are trying to coalesce, to come together, to come to the goal of destroying the state of Israel. That's first and foremost. Number two, what we have going on here is also we have, in addition to everything else, you have obviously the United States is one of them that's, you know, helping Israel at this time. But in addition, like Sandy was pointing out, you have Iran, which is helping out some of the bad actors, as I call them. And along with Russia and North Korea. And unfortunately, it is, you know, there's a lot of money to be made in war. And a lot of these people that are saying, well, Hamas and everything else, keep in mind the Palestinians that live in Gaza put those individuals in power. They were voted in. And some of those, I've been reading articles in the New York Times. They're multi-billionaires.
Hey, Dave.
These head leaders of Hamas.
Hey, Dave. There are Jewish people who put Netanyahu in power, and they're regretting it now, many of them.
Netanyahu is not the one who started the attack. Netanyahu is responding to the attack of what happened
on
October 7th.
So the issue is not about whether Netanyahu was wrong in responding. It's the depth of the response that is bringing out questions across the planet.
Well, you know, to step back from it, I think that there's no question that there is an issue associated with Hamas. And however, the problem we've got is that both Hezbollah and Hamas are sort of stateless organizations. They aren't, it's not like you're dealing with Belgium, a government that you're going to sit down and negotiate with. You're dealing with something else. And so the numbers of Hamas are something that's extremely uncertain. We don't know how many there are. And, you know, depending on who you are and what your intelligence are, you have a different number. But long-term, is the question, what is the answer and what is the solution? And I have talked to a number of people who are sophisticated and knowledgeable about the situation in Israel. And one of the quick responses I get is that the Arab countries need to take more responsibility for Gaza, and that that therein lies a problem. I mean, everyone, I think, recognizes that the situation in Gaza has, in some respects, bred the problem of terrorists and people willing to carry out terror, because obviously terrorism is in some respects a suicidal mission. And so then the question is, what does that mean? Arabs should take more responsibility for Gaza. And does it mean that it needs to be depopulated of Palestinians, or does it mean, what does it mean? And Dave, you're obviously, you have relatives there, and you've are very interested in the Israel situation, but what is, other than the effort to get rid of Hamas through warfare, which obviously can't succeed 100%, what is the solution, do you think?
Obviously, to your point, a coalition of between the Israelis and be it Egypt or Saudi Arabia or something, there has to be a joint effort to get the situation to where, yes, I mean, you look at Israel, it's the only Jewish state on the planet, okay? And it's a problem for some of these ideological people that are against Israel. They don't want Israel around. But the state of Israel was created, obviously, because of the Second World War and because of the Holocaust. And we have to keep in mind that that's one of the reasons why it was put in place, because of that circumstance.
Although just Dave, I don't mean to interrupt, but just so we have a sort of a dialogue, I do think that the states that have, or the Muslim countries that have been most evocative about and attacking Israel have done it on the basis of attacking the treatment of the Palestinians within Israel. So that it always comes down to that problem, because without that problem, most of those countries don't have a rationale for their arguments, right? But they argue that it's the Palestinians and the condition of the Palestinians within Israel that needs to be remedied. And some of the talk about getting rid of Israel as a state is I think a kind of a...
It'll never happen.
Well, no, I think it's a reference to a one-state solution in which all the Palestinians would become citizens of what is Israel and would become a majority instead of a minority of the citizens, and therefore Israel would probably lose its religious state quality. But what don't you think, Dave, that the solution, that some of the problems with the Mideastern countries does relate to the Palestinian condition?
Well, it does, because those people see their brothers. The Palestinians are their brothers.
What I'm saying here, Sandy, is specifically, it's more than just the Palestinians. This has been going on since the state of Israel has been created.
Well, except Dave, the state of Israel, the creation in 1948, began with this problem with the Palestinians. I mean, there was first the War of Liberation by Israel vis-a-vis the British, et cetera, but then they were left to their own devices to solve the problem with the Palestinians. And it's true, the Palestinians wouldn't accept the proposals made for what their geographic territory would be. But there was warfare between Israelis and Palestinians beginning in 1948.
I understand that. But what I'm saying to you, the bigger thing is that when there has been concessions or granted, try to resolve this, it's been rejected time and time over again, way before even Netanyahu
Dave, it certainly has been rejected because the other side didn't feel that it was equitable. And in negotiations, that's what happens. We got to take a short hiatus. Thank you very much for the call. 844-967-2789 is the number. You can join the conversation.
Sports.
Sports. Talk about your triple play.
Get this guy a jockstrap and a cookie.
1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN. WRJN.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State health officials say 1 in 10 Wisconsin homes has high radon levels. Radon's a natural radioactive gas that can cause cancer. A test kit costs about $20, but some communities are giving them out for free or at a discount. Health officials urge schools and businesses to test for radon, too. 41 Milwaukee public schools are tearing up playground asphalt and replacing it with trees and native plants. It provides a better atmosphere for play and for learning.
Behavioral referrals go down, injuries go down, and kids are more productive in their play.
That's Lisa Neeb. She's with Reflo. That's the nonprofit that's helping with the project. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WRJN News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A vending machine with Narcan and fentanyl test strips is now available at a Kenosha County Community Center. It's said to offer easy access to potentially life-saving tools to combat overdoses. The initiative comes after a recent report of 9 overdoses in a 12-day period in Kenosha County. The vending machine, located outside the Hope Council on 39th Avenue near 60th Street, aims to provide immediate access to Narcan and fentanyl test strips. The test strips allow illegal drug users to test their substances for the presence of fentanyl. There's a follow-up to the car versus bus crash in Union Grove earlier this week. Investigators say a 16-year-old driver suffered a medical condition Tuesday and rear-ended a school bus carrying 14 students. None of the kids on their way to Union Grove High were injured. The driver was taken to the hospital. And that's what you need to know. I'm Stuart J. Waddles, WRJN News.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Bucks beat the Spurs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It was a back-and-forth game, but the Bucks held on to win 125-121 over the Spurs in San Antonio. Giannis against 7'4" Victor Wembanyama. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
That was a fun game. That was a fun game to coach. Fun game to watch. You know, two of the most unique, talented, you know, they're very versatile players, but we just got to continue and get ready for Houston.
The Bucks play the Rockets tomorrow night. NFL, Chicago Bears quarterback Justin Fields on what a win in Green Bay Sunday would mean to him.
It'd mean a lot to the fans of the city. I think it'd be great. We know that Green Bay's playing for a lot at stake. They're playing for a playoff spot right now. So I think, you know, it'd be a great feeling to end the season off with a win in Lambeau.
If the Packers win, they're in the playoffs. Elton Jenkins.
We just got to keep doing what we've been doing. Don't change anything. Just harp on the details and just play with a lot of effort.
That's Packers left guard Elton Jenkins. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
WRJN.
We are watching a couple of systems that are going to bring some snow to our region. The first one will be late Friday night, Saturday into Saturday night. We may get an inch or less of accumulation there. Another more significant system will bring rain and snow late Monday, Tuesday into Wednesday. We'll keep an eye on that one. Today will be cloudy, 36 tonight. Snow after midnight, low of 31. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 26.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
On air, online, and on the Civic Media app.
Battle stations, everybody. Let's go, go,
this
go, go,
is 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM WRJN.
guy and I are about exactly the same age.
He's still performing, sir.
I know. I'd like to think I am, too.
I think it requires a little more energy than sitting down and having the dialogue.
Well, you should see me, boy.
Hey, he's traveling all over the world.
I know.
Mick, how do they do that?
I don't know. After the London, this guy went to the London School of Economics. And then,
oh, really?
Yeah. Got a degree there, and then he graduated and went on to bigger and better things.
So they just released an album last year. You know, so, but we would have never thought that he would, who would have bet that they would still be around?
All of them. I mean, the odds, I mean, I can see one or two of them making it through, but I mean, all of them. I think Jagger probably lived the healthiest life of them all.
Yeah. What's the guitar guy that looked 100 years old when he was 22?
Harrison? No.
No. That lead guitar guy.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
And he looked 100 years old at 20.
Yes.
He's still around. 844-967-2789. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. It's Friday. It means Friday's with Sandy Williams. So, Sandy, for those who don't know, you are a graduate of Harvard. Started to say Yale. Let's see if...
No, don't say Keith Richards.
Yeah, Keith Richards. So I was going to say Yale.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a big mistake.
So you are a graduate of Harvard. And the class of what?
Yeah. 1966.
1966. And needless to say, Harvard is one of the most prominent universities in the world. Is it safe to say that?
Well, those who went to Harvard certainly would agree with you. But I think it obviously is a very prominent school. And without trying to be sound boastful about the place I went,
right,
I'm sure that it's viewed as one of the leading universities in the world, and certainly one of the leading ones in the country. There are others that vie for the same position.
Yeah. So it just recently, Harvard has been in the news. And what is the woman's name?
Claudine Gay.
Claudine Gay. Black woman, clearly the first black woman, gay, to become the president of that prestigious university. Didn't last long. She was there, I think, 6 months. And she's been basically forced out.
Well, I mean, she, as well as the president of University of Pennsylvania, and there are a couple of other university presidents who it's actually been kind of a national campaign. There's been people on the right who are describing the strategy that they use to try and squeeze the schools who have been involved in what they, I'm sure if you were using political jargon, you'd say these schools are being accused of being overly woke, okay?
Right.
And because of their over wokeism, we'll get into that, because I think woke is a bit of a dog whistle term itself. Because of this over wokeism, they're under assault, and the effort was made.
The universities
to unseat, well, to change their policies, to change the way they expend money, and to unseat presidents as a symbolic act, showing the power of the conservative thought process.
And that's done by the major donors.
Well, the donors were the part of that squeeze, and the political process was another part of the squeeze. And the squeeze worked. It's worked for two different presidencies. And one of the woke aspect of it that's under greatest attack is this so-called DEI concept, which is also under attack here in Wisconsin.
Right.
There's been a frontal assault by the legislature on the University of Wisconsin with respect to the expenditures in the department they say has been created, which was devoted to DEI. And Earl, what is DEI?
Department of Equity and Inclusion.
Yeah. So diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Right.
And so, you know, the DEI movement has generated a great deal of sort of procedural processes in a number of universities as they set up an image or a vision of diversity, equity, and inclusion under sort of their strategic plans. Strategic plans then call for processes to assure the implementation of the vision. And so many of these schools, in order to assure the implementation of their vision of diversity, equity, and inclusion, have set up departments with respect to that. Claudine Gay was actually the head of that process at Harvard before she became the president. And so she was probably primarily focused upon for that reason. And so I would say that in terms of woke, I think woke in general is a term that's being used now that is meant to be aimed at DEI, okay, the process of DEI, and the extent to which they believe that DEI has become too big an influence in processes generally. I would equate this attack on DEI with the same sort of attack on CRT, critical race theory, as both of them being, I think, in some respects at least, the extent to which that they have gained momentum, a dog whistle that relates to the racial aspect of what they're trying to achieve.
You know, Sandy, and at the root of all of it is last summer, the United States Supreme Court basically took some of the teeth out of affirmative action. And when the United States Supreme Court, conservative-leaning United States Supreme Court, did away in some instances with some aspects of affirmative action, this is when this crept up. And so it's been in response to a decision that was made by the United States Supreme Court. And so diversity, equity, and inclusion is under assault. It's going to continue to be under assault until, you know, somebody is able to clearly state that the world is better and our country is better when diversity is in play, because the nation is diverse.
Well, absolutely. And I think that what is being reflected by the effort of major universities is the recognition they have that their student body, the graduates of that student body, are all better off for having participated in a diverse situation, right? Going through a university that is diverse in it of itself, that involves diversity and inclusivity. And so for the government to attack that, this is not government action. This is the action of private schools,
right,
for the purpose of achieving an outcome that is part of their strategic vision for what they believe to be in a stronger and better educational experience.
So Sandy, when at the root of all of these things is the campuses have always historically been the places where debate and those kinds of things could happen. And so our country could be tested, and whatever it is we are, those things could be debated or happen on university campuses because they don't happen in regular life. Is it safe to say?
Well,
that?
Yeah, universities are the place where young people leave their families, go off on their own, start thinking entirely independently on their own, and are given the opportunity to consider all different kinds of thoughts, to meet and consider all different kinds of people, and to forge their lives. And, you know, that's really the value of post-secondary education, is this process of maturation and independence, which is provided by essentially an open forum for all ideas and for all types.
And historically, that's what took place on university campuses. Let's go to Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. You say what?
I say that if I had to start all over again with my grandkids, I would advise them not to go to college. And I'll tell you why. It's because colleges have changed so much that like Sandy said, you know, you leave your parents and then you go out and explore the life. Well, what they're doing is they're teaching these kids like stuff that I would never want my kids
How do you know what they're being taught?
Well, actually, Gary, let's talk. Gary, let me just talk to you about that a minute. Because
are we going to have a dialogue, or you're going to cut me off?
No, I don't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
Well, the thing is this. My son went to Marquette University, and when he came back, you know, to live at home for a little while before he got married, his thoughts were totally different than what it was when before he left, when he was in high school. Now, he's a good guy, and he's a good Christian man, and he raises his kids as a Christian. But what they're teaching now in school, like take this Claudine Gay, all right? Now, when she was asked the question about you know, coming down on the Jewish people and not going out there and saying that, well, this is wrong, you can't do this. No, she said, well, you know, we have to understand why we have this going on. And these people have freedom of speech. Now, if they were talking about taking all the black people and beating them up and killing them and shoving them into the Mediterranean Sea, they would be outraged. But since they're the Jewish people, no, we have to understand that they have that right. No, you do not have a right. She should have came down hard. Now, thank God that she stepped down, but she's still at that school, still teaching the same stuff. No, I don't want.
Gary, let's just go on for it. Because school, university is a place and has always been a place that has been an open forum. And they have almost always been accused of being bastions of liberality, whether they are or not. And it's because children leave their family, they go off, and they now are left to think independently and to not have their thoughts forged by where they attend. Claudine Gay isn't teaching very many courses at Harvard. And I guarantee you that at Harvard, there are teachers teaching things from every perspective. And you know what happens at the university? The students select their own courses. If you go to a University of Wisconsin or a Harvard University or any place, they have a course book that is hundreds of pages thick with hundreds of courses to select from. And it's the students selecting the courses. It's not like high school, where when you go to a high school, most of the courses are required and they're handed to you without any choice. So that's what universities are about, is people going off, exploring their own processes of thought and learning from others. And so I'm sorry to hear that you think that you wouldn't send your kid to a university to have that opportunity. Your son sounds like he's come out of it just fine, but maybe he did explore and has explored things that are different than what was going on in his home.
And clearly people will change when they're 18 years old and they wind up leaving home and getting and going on their own. That's the process of learning, Sandy, isn't it?
Well, sure. My family growing up was a staunch Republican family, and I graduated from Harvard, and I was still a Republican, but I had my views were probably changed some during the process of studying economics there with people, some of whom were quite liberal and some weren't. And had a super blessing. I grew up in Whitefish Bay, which at the time had a capital W, Whitefish Bay. I had never even met personally an African American before I went there. My freshman roommate was black, and he remains my dearest friend.
So let's 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Listening to News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
Are you ready to enjoy retirement? How would you like to live in a place dedicated to your comfort while allowing you the freedom to live an active and worry-free lifestyle? Fountain Hills offers condo-style apartments, and their residents enjoy going out for lunches and dinners, grocery shopping, playing cards and bingo with other residents, all while using extra precautions to keep their senior residents safe. To explore becoming a Fountain Hills resident, see fountainhillsapartments.com. Or call 262-886-9200.
This is Chuck Smith, founder of Kern Electric. I want to thank you, Southeast Wisconsin, for making us number one electrical service company in our area. From residential and commercial to all things solar. Do you know the number one reason people call Kern Electric? It is trust. We answer the call. They trust our heroes in their home and businesses. With 8,500 five-star reviews and growing, I'm so very proud of our team of heroes. Go to callcurrent.com. That's callcurrent.com. Home of the superheroes.
This is News Talk and Sports for Racine and Kenosha, WRJN.
As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Sandy, I certainly hope that the year doesn't go by as fast as our show.
two hours does seem quite short.
Oh, yeah. Let's go to Tom. Hey, Tom, what's going on?
Hey, guys. You know what? I have never heard so many controlling parents in my life. Here's the problem. If you really want to know the problem, these people that watch Fox News and right-wing hate radio and all of these different things, all they hear are sound bites. All they hear are definitive. This will cure this. Take this pill and this will cure this. You know what? Science, education, academia, it's more than a sound bite. It's more than a one-time talk on a yes-no answer. It's about research. It's about actually showing your sources. It's about all of that. When I hear Gary say, oh, my gosh, my son went from a small town in Wisconsin, and, man, he came back a different person, and we got our hands on him and got him straightened out right. Wow. All I can say is wow. I am so – these are the reasons why people in Wisconsin, like me, that grew up in a town of 2,000 people, get the hell out of there and move to Los Angeles – and actually have a life for themselves where they can free think rather than having controlling parents.
Hey, Tom, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. And I just want to say, man, you know, I've got three sons, and I don't want my sons to still be thinking the way they were when they were 18 years old in my home. They're men. They have a right to their own views. They're right. Their opinions of things.
Well, here's you know, I want to empathize, and I think Gary's a good guy.
Yeah.
And so he's got a view. I think a lot of America, it's part of fear. You know, the notion of free thinking and open thinking gives rise to the capacity to think about all different things. But my question is, what I wonder what the things are that worry, because this would be an interesting thing for us to understand sociologically. If Gary's worried about his son thinking differently, what are the different kinds of thoughts that he's worried about his son having? What range of thinking do we worry about when we worry about children being educated freely? The Mennonite community, I had an experience in Warren, Ohio, and the Amish and Mennonite community in Warren, Ohio, and I think it's true nationally, stop education at eighth grade. And they do that for the reason of trying to make sure that the thought processes of their children are not opened up, okay, to all of the possibilities and are rendered restricted by the possibilities that are presented to them within their community and through eighth grade. And I think most people would look at that and say, wow, that can't be a good thing for the people at large. But we should try to question for ourselves, what is it that we're worried about our children thinking if they are allowed to open up their thinking freely? And because if they have the proper values, then yes, then the ability to sift through all different kinds of thoughts will be solved by their value system. And so, you know, that's what I scratch my head about. I don't understand the fear people have of people being opened up to all kinds of education when they carry with them a value system.
Let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what, sir?
Good morning, gentlemen. Sandy kind of stole my thunder about stuff, but they're saying that, you know, colleges and everything are changing everything. Aren't we kind of going through the same thing we did back in the 60s during the Vietnam War and the hippie movement and all that?
Yeah.
It's free thinking, and that is the whole thing. That is why that's what woke is. You're free thinking. They're against, Mises calls heretics, because your mind is open up when you go to college because you get exposed to others and their views, and you start to think about your own views, and then you can expand your mind. But this is, again, this is the whole woke thing. They're afraid of people free thinking and being themselves and an individual in a world where we need that, not this, this constant, you got to fall in line and follow what we say, which is kind of like the Republicans want us to do.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. You know, Sandy, all I can go by is my parents taught me values at a young age. I carry those values with me throughout my life. I've tried to instill those same values in my children. But my children have been free to be who they are, and I have no power over them or no right. The way I see it.
Well, that's the deal with values. You know, it's like birds leaving the nest. Children aren't apt to necessarily reside 3 miles from us. They might reside 450 or 4,000 miles from us. They're beyond our reach. So what we can give them is a value system through which they can sift everything that they will experience. And what a child experiences is not subject to being controlled by a parent. I mean, there's many things our child experiences which we wish they wouldn't right. have to experience. I've experienced many things that I'm sure my parents wish right. I didn't have to experience, but I did. I went through them, and it's our values that carry us through the process.
And I mean, that's the growth of a human being, right? Experimentation is a part of it, and you can't protect adult children from that.
All you can do is hand them a value system, and that's what. That's what we give them, and then we ought to encourage them to exercise free flight, given the fact that they have a whole set of values that they're going to carry with them.
Sandy, 1 week down.
Here we are.
How many weeks are there in the
year? We're almost used to saying 2024.
52?
51.
51, okay.
Well, now we have 51 left.
Yeah, 51 left.
Yeah.
All right, we got to get out of here. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin, for a great week as always. Short week as it was. Up next, Greg Bach and Jane Matinere. See you later.
Talk and the sports that made Wisconsin great. Packers, Bucks, and coming in 2024, the Brewers. 1400 AM and 99.9 and 98.1 FM, WRJN.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
your home for the Packers.
1400 AM WRJN Racine, 99.9 FM W260 CV Racine, and 98.1 FM W251 BU Kenosha.
And streaming everywhere on the